Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're broadcasting live from the Chapel of St. Timothy in Titus here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, our first Sunday night remote, leading up to a remote next week. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later in this hour from the Bay Area in California. Our topic tonight, Christianity and the news media. We continue our conversation with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, an international journalist, a regular guest here on the program. 5 years as religion affairs editor for UPI, United Press International, director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on lay vocation. Our call-in number, we want to hear from you, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go back to the phones. To start off this hour's conversation, Steve from Hayward, California is on the line. Steve, thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Good, good. I just caught a little bit of, I just tuned in about, 5 minutes ago and caught a comment by your guest speaking to, I'm not even sure exactly, Craig kind of informed me that you're talking about, the media.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned some Catholic media as well as Christianity Today.
Sure.
And so I've been a subscriber now for I think about a year for Christianity Today, and personally I'm finding it even more difficult to even read that magazine because it just seems to be more and more advertising for. Dare I say, seeker-friendly churches and seminaries with questionable doctrine or theology. And I'm saying this as a relatively new believer, but just learning what I'm learning, I know that, the church seems to be in trouble, or at least, we seem to be heading down the wrong road. And I know we do need to get involved as individuals and the secular media, I don't know if they're going to let us get involved or put our perspective in play.
All right, Steve, let's see what Uwe has to say. First of all, Uwe, this is a real concern. I mean, the concern that the Christian, the media that is trying to do Christian Science Monitor, things like this, Christianity Today, people are equally concerned about what they're reading in the Christian media sometimes, especially Christians. So deal with that one first. And then also his concern that the mainstream media may not let outspoken, devout Christians into the fold, into places where they can write and where they can speak and where they can appear in the media.
Now let's talk about Christianity. I'll address all three of these questions. Christianity Today, you can't fault the editorial department of Christianity Today for the type of ads that the magazine runs. Like every magazine, Christianity Today needs ads in order to finance itself. I find that Christianity Today has an extraordinarily fine editorial staff. The editor-in-chief, David Neff, is outstanding. They have fantastic reporters. I have watched this one, Anisha Tennant, for example, who has done a superb job in covering Christianity in Europe from a very broad Christian, but from a broad perspective. So let's not knock a magazine for the ads. Then we would all be in trouble. You mentioned, Todd, Christian Science Monitor. I happen to believe that a Christian Science Monitor, although it is very anemic because it doesn't have enough ads, is probably journalistically the most, the best newspaper in this country, certainly with a very broad international view of things. And yes, they have one page where they introduce the Christian Science perspective. That's their good right. It's not my perspective, but it is clearly marked Christian Science perspective, and everything else, all the other pages in the Christian Science Monitor, contain first-rate journalism.
Well, I wonder about that. Is that a good template for what good Christian publications ought to be like? That is a very clearly set out perspective and position, but in their journalism, straight, clean journalism.
Well, it would be a good template, but of course, you know, to start a Christian, in quotation marks, newspaper that covers secular events like from a secular perspective, because there is no specifically Christian perspective on how to direct the traffic and whether you should start a green or red or whatever. So in order to start a responsible Christian-owned newspaper that covers world events well and then, of course, reserves for its own perspective a page would be wonderful. I don't see too many Christian benefactors developing is very, very expensive. Sorry, there was this third thing that you mentioned.
Well, he was concerned that Christians, even skilled and trained Christian journalists, might not be given an opportunity.
Yeah. He came in later in the program, as he said. I do believe that that a committed Christian can still, if he knows his stuff, can still become an editor and actually advance in the media, being a Christian. Of course, if he starts evangelizing in the newsroom when he is supposed to cover a murder case or God knows what, that would be a different matter. If he wants to evangelize, can do it during a break. That's not his job. That's not the job of a Christian in the newspaper. But I don't believe that there is generally a bias against hiring Christians to a job of a secular journalist.
All right, back to the phones. Tim's up next, calling from Wisconsin. Tim, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
I'd just like to know, what is the news media's primary purpose? Is it to just report the news and guarantee their source is accurate, or are they trying to mold public thinking and thus, like, control the way things work in government?
Tim, it's a good question. So let's deal with the basic purpose of the journalist and of the media in general. What is it?
Well, if the journalists are doing their job well, if a journalist is doing his job well, and if he's a responsible journalist, he has one obligation, and that is to cover the events he's assigned to cover, or she is assigned to cover. Then, of course, if that reporter is advanced enough, he or she can then write a news analysis, which is something he applies his knowledge, his research, his expertise to an analyzing news events and comments. And then, of course, you have, but on a separate page, I'm talking now about the ideal scene. I'm not saying this is always the case. Then on a separate page, namely the editorial page, the op-ed pages, then, of course, you can opine. My problem with the news media nowadays, and specifically with the North American news media since the 1960s, is that they abandoned this very often, not generally, but abandoned very often the strict separation between opinion and coverage and news coverage. And you have sort of subjective religious coverage, subjective news coverage. And it started with Truman Capote back in the early 60s. You remember the book In Cold Blood. Mm-hmm. That was one of the very, very first efforts to separate what definitely has to be separated, opinion and news.
All right, let's come back to that on the other side of the break. One of the concerns that is shared by virtually everyone who even casually observes what's going on in the news media, especially Christians, is that blurring of the line between those three things, I think, coverage, analysis and commentary, and very often one just simply flows into another. How should a journalist diligently resist the temptation to comment, to opine, and to draw his own conclusions rather than simply report what's going on or what has happened? We're talking about Christianity in the news media. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We'll be giving away Terry Mattingly's book called Pop Goes Religion to the best callers and emailers. issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back. Pastor Mark Schaefer, Coordinator of Continuing Education and Related Events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about the spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including one led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. John Seleska, visit their website, ctsfw.edu, or call area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live, our first nationally syndicated Sunday night remote, here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton from the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, and we're talking about Christianity in the news media. Our call-in number again, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've got an audience member here who has a question for us here in our makeshift studio. What's your name and what's your question for Uwe?
My name is Jake, and I'm from South Dakota. Good evening, Doctor. You had mentioned that a problem in modern journalism is an ideological problem. If you could you tell us the difference between an ideology and Christianity? And if there is a difference, which I suspect there is, do you ever see Christianity portrayed as an ideology, and do you see problems with that?
It's an excellent question. Thank you very much, Jake.
Wonderful question. Well, an ideology is, by definition, already a cliché. An ideology is you have a fixed opinion on a certain thing, which is not faith-based. It is simply something that is conjured up. It is not, and it covers secular as well as religious aspects of life. Whereas Christianity is a truth statement, which is not ideological, because, for example, take my Lutheran perspective. From a Lutheran perspective, I can be just as easily a Republican or a Democrat or a monarchist. I can be in favor of capitalism, and I can be in favor of social democracy, and still operate within the parameters of my Christian faith. As an ideologue, you can't do this. As an ideologue, you have a set, you have set ways. Now, the Christianity is very often portrayed as an ideology based on what we call in theology penultimate questions. You know, these Christians are such ideologues. They will not allow for abortion, or they will not allow women's ordination. That's ideologically motivated. When in reality what we're talking about is, first of all, that this is one aspect. This is the one aspect of how our faith informs behavior, and in the case, of course, of abortion, our faith informs is informed by the Ten Commandments and other parts of Scripture which affirm the sanctity of life. And
so, let me just see if I have you correct here: that there are Christians, representative Christians, in, that we see in the media, who hold these positions not because they have thoroughly, because they thoroughly understand and believe what Scripture teaches on the matter, but from an ideological perspective.
That's correct.
That they are more Republican than Christian,
or more Democratic than Christian, or more anything, or they are. Usually, that is what I said earlier on. Usually, even media people, when they ask religious questions, religious in quotation marks, they never ask about beliefs. They never ask about the gospel. They never ask about scripture. They never ask about God. But they ask about behavior, so moral behavior, ethical standards, and that sort of thing. I mean, the religion stories that you see in the media are primarily stories about misbehavior by Catholic priests or by any of these things, or, you know, the outrageous behavior by some of us who are against women's ordination, never asking the question why.
Why? Yes. So just to press this a little bit farther.
Yeah.
One wonders when we see the popular representatives of Christianity, that handful of people who are brought in to sit at the table in front of the news cameras and take part in the conversation or the debate. One wonders whether or not they could answer something other than the penultimate questions. They can certainly tell you what they're against and what they're for, but could they answer the question, why is it wrong or why is it right? And I wonder what you think, Uwe. Does the major damage done here, not so much to what kind of information we get, but Christianity is portrayed as a morality rather than a faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, that's the American religion, alas. I mean, some say that it's the sort of Methodist approach to religion that the morality supersedes faith. You're talking about the characters who are representing Christianity in the public media. I'm not so sure whether people like Robertson or Falwell would be able to ask answer the ultimate questions, the question about God and faith, the way we understand it. However, there are very prominent spokesmen for Christianity, both on the left and on the right of the theological spectrum. Take Richard John Neuhaus or Martin Marty, who would be very competent and do indeed address these questions if they are asked these questions. But then that brings us back to journalism, what this young man asked earlier on. They are not even being asked faith questions. Journalists then always ask them the penultimate question. That's morality, it's ethics questions. And at the lowest rung, you know, when is First Baptist around the corner having its yard sale?
Let's talk with Danny in Memphis. He listens on XM Radio. Thanks for being patient, Danny. Welcome. Danny, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey,
Danny.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes,
what's your question or comment?
Yes, I just wanted to know that if your guest found that it was a lot harder for media to get the confusion aspect out of Christian issues or covering Christian media because of the denomination factor, because we have so many Christians not just saying that they're Christian, that they have allied themselves with denominations almost like political parties. Has he found that that's caused any confusion in the media?
Okay, Danny, thank you very much. Uwe, you got about a minute to respond to Danny's question, whether or not kind of the denominationalism, denominationization of American Christianity especially, gets in the way of an accurate portrayal of Christianity.
Well, it definitely does. I mean, it is befuddling, isn't it? I mean, you have about 3,000 denominations in this country, and that's not counting the tens of thousands of independent churches. And most journalists don't even know the difference between a Baptist and a Presbyterian, or, God forbid, a Lutheran. So how would they then be able to tell the difference between the Presbyterian Church in America, the Presbyterian Church in the USA, the Cumberland Presbyterians, or the Free Methodists and the Wesleyans, and then the American Episcopal Baptist Zion Church, or God knows what? They don't. This is very, very disturbing. And there's an additional problem here. Church leaders are very, very often very, very inept in presenting their theologies competently. And a lot of groundwork has to be done on that level as well.
Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and the news media. We will be giving away a couple copies, actually, of Terry Mattingly's book called Pop Goes Religion to the best callers and to the best emailers during this hour. In fact, Danny, he had a good question there, a very insightful question, in fact. If you would give us a call at 1-800-730-2727, if you're still on hold, we'll get your information to send you a copy of that book. Stay tuned. More with Uwe Simonetto after this. Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name, and you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy, or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real challenge, is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matongo Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're broadcasting live here from the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, Missouri. St. Louis for the rest of you out there. And from the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus here on the campus, Dr. Uwe Simonet is our guest as we talk about Christianity and the news media. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is an in-depth commentary on the first 20 chapters of the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. It's written by noted Old Testament scholar Dr. Horace Hummel, one of my instructors during my seminary days, in fact. All those first 20 chapters dealt with in depth. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for February. You can order this new Bible commentary by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when you call that number, 1-800-325-3040, make sure you request the Issues Etc. book of the month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel, 1-800-325-3040. All right, let's go back to our audience here in the studio. Who are you and where are you from? What's your question for Uwe?
I'm Matt from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm a student here at the seminary. And my question is, if a pastor or teacher or someone gets a call from the, mostly if it's going to be a pastor or teacher, if they get a call from a journalist, how should they engage the media in dialogue on question regarding Muslim affairs or something in the community that has religious or even secular newsworthy event?
Excellent question. First thing, you should be truthful. No. Very first thing, you shouldn't be afraid. You know, you shouldn't be scared. You should face the journalist straight on, truthfully, not defensively, not aggressively, pleasantly. If he has the answers to this question, like, you know, some problems within the congregation, he would probably have the answer. He should answer them that question truthfully, within obviously the parameters of his pastoral position. He cannot reveal personal secrets or that sort of thing. If it deals with something like Islam, which of course is a very, very important issue, if he has the competence to do so, then he should explain to the caller the differences, the theological differences between Islam and Christianity. If he doesn't, he should just say, look, I'm a parish pastor here in Hicksville, and this is not what I've been doing, but I'll call my denomination, I'll call head office, I'll get some information for you, I'll get you a name in the seminary, at a university or somewhere, and why don't you call that person, and that person will give you a name. There's something that I've been doing in the last year together with Germans. In Germany, they have put together a wonderful series of pamphlets, beautifully done, explaining the similarities but also grave differences between the two theologies, Christian and Islamic. And that's been translated into English and hopefully will come out here soon. And these are nine pamphlets, very, very concise, very understandable. And I hope that sort of thing abounds. But it's very simple. If you know the answer, give the answer. If you don't know the answer, be smart enough to say, but I can point you to someone who has the answer. Same way a lawyer or anybody else would operate.
Here's an email from one of our listeners, Uwe. It comes from John in Lincoln City, Oregon. He writes this, I have a daughter who just graduated last May from a Bible college majoring in Bible and journalism. What would you say to her about using her gifts and talents in journalism and to that journalism department chair training these students?
Well, first of all, we have to know what her primary interest is. Does she want to go into the secular media? Will she be happy dirtying her fingers, as we've discussed earlier on? Then she should really go in there, study journalism in a secular university or a secular journalism school, and remain faithful as a Christian while doing this. And then she can always specialize in religion coverage. That, of course, then leads to the chair of that journalism department. Of course, it is outrageous that that there are so few journalism schools in the world that teach religion coverage as a compulsory. It should be compulsory. It should be. You should have at least one full course of religion coverage at any journalism school. And so, if I were this this gentleman whose daughter is graduating from Bible college, I would look for a school that has religion coverage, a good journalism school, that is, that has religion coverage, and there are quite a few. I mean, they do exist. And if she's good enough, she will persevere. Or, alternatively, if she can't get it at your journalism school, and she does her regular coursework at journalism school, and then go outside her school to learn the business of covering religion, that is also possible.
Here's another email. This one comes from Jeff in Frisco, Texas. And he writes, as a teacher in a Christian day school, I often encounter one large hindrance to Christians entering the profession of journalism, the failure of educational institutions to provide basic writing and grammar skills, much less the notions of how to effectively present rhetoric. In this area, I think we need to remember that the great Christians of the past were men of letters, Augustine, Luther, Tyndale, Calvin, to name a few, he says. And he concludes by saying this, if we want to promote Dr. Simonetto's ideas, we must first plant seeds and develop the skills in our children. God willing, we can have believers with catechized minds writing and reporting in coherent language. Jeff goes all the way back to very basic skills, to elementary things.
To which I can only say amen. Yeah, Jeff is absolutely right. It is, and people do, this is the dumb-downing, of course, of Christianity or of the Christian church is another problem. I mean, that you have, I've taught at some Christian colleges and found that the writing skills and the English language skills and the sense of history were minimal. Yet they want to become journalists. So this is very true. There's somebody here at the seminary, for example, who is homeschooling his children. He's teaching them Latin while doing coursework here. He's teaching them Greek. He's doing all these things. That is remarkable. But, I mean, why does this have to take place? Why is, for example, music, even at Lutheran schools, not taught as extensively as it used to be? Yes, there, the churches do have, Christians do have an obligation. The churches have an obligation to do that.
Okay, another email. This one, I think I'll have to get the name at the bottom because my screen is not long enough to get the entire email in there. And don't put it up right now because it'll knock it off my screen there, Jeff. I'm a young Christian who works in a newsroom in St. Louis, and I'm not a reporter, but I work closely with editors, copy editors, designers, and photographers. I believe most of my coworkers are ignorant of Christianity, what it really is, its history, etc. I think most of them also are liberal, though certainly not all. Perhaps it's just that the most vocal among them are liberal, and that makes me think that. The listener goes on, in observing our coverage of Christianity in particular, but also all religions, I've noticed that there's an institutional bias. What I mean by that is that we tend to emphasize institutions, hierarchies, rigid organizations, etc. This is probably why we give a disproportionate amount of coverage to the Catholic Church and very little coverage to local evangelical or Protestant happenings. This same bias can be found in other areas of coverage. We write a lot about the institutions like city and government, fire departments, etc. Let's pause there and deal with this. Is this also part of the problem that the news media deals with religion in terms of its larger institutions and hierarchies?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, mind you, what is it? St. Louis is predominantly Roman Catholic, so, I mean, it's fair enough to cover the Roman Catholic Church. But if you, this gets me back to asking the ultimate questions. If you cover religion simply from the perspective of ethics or institutions, if the Roman Catholic Church is only an institution and not a church that actually teaches the Christian faith, or the Lutheran Church is considered an institution or that, then of course you get a very warped religion coverage. So this writer there is absolutely right. I don't think it's even liberalism. I don't think it has. He's quite right. Ignorance. They don't know. They haven't been taught, and that is also the fact that they haven't been taught at home, because very often the parents weren't home to teach their children the faith. They don't have. They sent the grandmothers down to Florida to sit in the sun instead of teaching their kids Christianity, as they did in my case in the air raid shelter in World War II. And then they're surprised that you have a bunch of religious ignoramus running around the Western world, facing religious fanatics in the Middle East. Well, thanks very much. That's a lovely scene we have here.
All right, the listener there who emailed us is Josh in Ferguson, Missouri, and we're going to get to the second part of that email on the other side of this break and another audience question. I believe Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. When we come back, about 10 minutes left in this conversation on Christianity and the news media. Uwe is an international journalist, a regular guest here on the program. He was 5 years religion affairs editor for United Press International, a storied career in journalism, and he's director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on lay vocation. We'll be right back. Who was the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel? What were his times like? What were the circumstances in which he preached? Who was his audience? What is Ezekiel's message for us today? The Concordia Commentary on the Book of Ezekiel, the first 20 chapters, is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. You can find information about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can visit one of two locations where Concordia Publishing House has bookstores in the St. Louis area, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Just follow the signs to the CPH bookstore and find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. The book is $42.99. Remember those addresses, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton, Dr. Gary Habermas, and I invite you to attend the 10th Annual European Summer Study of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. The Academy will be held July the 11th through the 22nd next summer in Strasbourg, France. For more information, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, and we'll send you a free brochure, 1-800-737-0172. Improve your abilities to defend the faith and teach the truth by attending the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July the 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France. For more information, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc.org. We hope to see you there. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Last 10 minutes of our conversation with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Before we go on with the rest of that email from Josh in Ferguson, Missouri, and to an audience question, Uwe, tell us what you're trying to accomplish here with the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism.
Well, that center will be based, or is based, on paper at least, in, at Concordia College in Bronxville, New York. And what we're trying to do is develop religion coverage courses, picking up on what we've discussed earlier on, possibly with neighboring universities such as Fordham. We will have symposia where pastors and mid-career journalists will get together. In other words, we're trying to bridge the gap, precisely the gap that we've been discussing now for the last almost 2 hours, which is the gap between journalism and religion, in this particular case, of course, essentially Christian religion, but also others. Or discuss the coverage of major Christian topics, such as the burgeoning dialogue between theology and science. And all these things. So it's a question of finance. I mean, we are struggling at the moment with that, but I hope it's going to work out.
This is the remainder of Josh's email, picking up on something you said before the break, Uwe. I sometimes hear Christian friends talk about liberal conspiracies in the media as if editors were plotting ways to destroy Christianity. Now, again, Josh writes as someone involved in the news media here in the St. Louis area. I don't think that such things happen anywhere, consciously at least, but certainly editorial staffs of many news organizations share a worldview that runs counter to Christianity. This inevitably will result in coverage that is at odds with Christian values. Do you agree here, Uwe?
Yes, and I also believe that there are people in the media who do want to destroy Christianity, but I don't think they're in the majority. I think they're individual freaks. But for example, this journalism professor who forbade his class to write papers on the religious developments in France is obviously a committed atheist and somebody who wants to squash religion and says, you know, this is folly. If there weren't any religion, there wouldn't be any wars, and you know all the cliches that you banter about. But as for the rest, yeah, there is a bias there, but I must come back to the basic thing, and that is ignorance and indifference. They don't know. I think that is the main issue. The main issue is not really hostility. It's not the individual lunatic who wants to destroy something that has forged our civilization. It's ignorance. It's the product of latchkey kids running around and idiot television programs as a daily intellectual diet. I think that is the main problem.
Back to our audience here. Hi, what's your name? Where are you from? What's your question?
I'm David Law. I live in O'Fallon, Missouri, just west of St. Louis. There's been a lot of talk tonight about education and journalism, the quality and the depth and the breadth and et cetera. I would be very interested in knowing, you having said that you're at 50 or just at nearly 50 years in journalism, going back to those early 50s then, what was the amount and the quality of your own journalistic education? What did you get critically, was it real all good? Were there things you wished you had, or did you have to develop more education later as you became a journalist? How does that compare now, what you got, to what's going on now?
Yeah. Dave, thank you.
It's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you how I learned my trade. I didn't have any journalistic education. I learned on the job. I learned it as a craft, like a cobbler. I was a high school dropout. I got my doctorate when I was 55. See, I'm a late developer. we got out, we worked, we were sent, we were kicked in the butt, and we had to, and drunken, chain-smoking editors who slapped the manuscripts around our shops 10 times before we got it right, and made sure that we didn't foul up, and that we didn't that we weren't biased, and that that we covered things from a proper perspective, that we didn't hurt other people. That's another very important issue. It is an obligation of a journalist not to hurt other people, not to offend other people gratuitously. Sometimes you have to offend them, but you have to tell the truth, but not to offend people's religious beliefs, for example. We learned on the job. Let me tell you one typical story. There is I was a second year trainee in a local newspaper in Westphalia. And I ran the newspaper as a second year trainee because, you know, that's how their paper saved money. They had trainees run the thing. And I went to the annual convention of a Catholic organization called Kolpingverein. Kolpingverein is an association of journeymen, of Christian journeymen in various crafts. And I tried to be funny. I was only 20 then. I tried to be funny and sort of mentioned in passing how stale the beer was. But the beer was stale, but the atmosphere was great. Well, they didn't see kindly to it, so 24 canceled their subscription to the paper. You know what I had to do? My editor-in-chief called me, you get your fanny out of here, and you go to every one of them at home and apologize for that. So I went to 24 different homes. I never did that sort of thing again. You don't learn this in journalism schools, but you learn it on the job. And boy, have I never forgotten that.
How would you respond to someone who says, a Christian out there, who's just at their end of the rope when it comes to what they've read in their local newspaper, what they read in the national newspapers, what they read in the weeklies, what they see on television, what they hear on the radio, and they say, I am going to simply stick to the Christian blogs and to the conservative talk radio, and that's going to give me the information I need. How would you respond to such a person?
Well, I would say, dear Christian brother, you're thoroughly irresponsible.
Why so?
Well, because you are a citizen. As well as being a Christian, you're a church member, but you're also a citizen. And you're, as a citizen, as a voter, you are responsible for the well-being of your neighbors and your nation. You have, as the journalist or as the butcher, have vocations, have callings to serve their neighbors out of love, and do the best job possible for their fellow man. So the voter, so the citizen has a calling to operate and to work to the best of his and her or her ability out of love for their neighbors. So the Christian who separates himself from society and sticks to the blogs and Christian blogs lives in a cocoon, but he doesn't live in the United States. He might as well give up his American passport. Because he no longer contributes to the society. You are in a free society. You're obligated to inform yourself, and the information is available. So he just has to do that. Otherwise, it's not doing his job right.
So with only 20 seconds, as our time runs short, yeah, you're really talking about the vocation of the listener, the reader, the observer of what the journalist is doing on the other end.
Oh, absolutely, yes. They should mope and they should grope and they should complain. But at the same time, the journalist has an obligation. The recipient of the news has an obligation to be a discerning reader and a discerning listener. And so therefore, and since it is all available now on the internet, there is no reason, there's no excuse for Americans or Western Europeans who live in a free society for not getting their facts right.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's an international journalist. He spent 5 years as religion affairs editor for United Press International, and he is director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. Uwe, it's always a pleasure, especially a pleasure tonight, to talk with you about Christianity and the news media. Thank you for being our guest. We really talked in tonight's conversation about two callings, two vocations, and all throughout the course of this conversation, we've dealt with both of them at the same time. While we talk about the Christian and the news media, we are talking about we, who are citizens in a free society, not having the luxury of simply withdrawing from what we hear and what we see and what we read. We cannot go into our closets and make up the facts for ourselves. This is the way information flows in a free society, from those who go out and get the story and cover the story and bring the story to us, never completely without bias, and we who hear it. You know, we are intent to live in these two vocations. And as Christians, we live before God by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our concern for truth, that ultimate truth, what it is that is at the very heart of Christianity that so many in the media do get wrong, Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin, who took our flesh and our sin to the cross and in His body bore those sins for our salvation, this moves us to love our neighbor, and that means getting the story straight every time. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.